listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 101. I am DJ Chuang, your host. Thank you for tuning in, downloading or subscribing or streaming, however it is that you are listening to this podcast. The conversation continues at our website, socialmedia.church. Yes, we are using the new extension, .church. So the web address, again, is socialmedia.church. And on this episode, you'll hear... And on this episode, you'll listen in on my conversation with Dave Travis, who is the Chief Encouragement Officer of Leadership Network, an organization that I've been blessed to be a part of during the past 7-8 years or so. And Leadership Network has been connecting innovative churches to foster and increase their impact for the glory of God over the past 30 years. And just to clarify, the definition of innovation that Leadership Network runs with is that of Peter Drucker's, that innovation is a change that creates a new level of performance. So it's all about new results and greater impact to help more people. So it's all about more results and greater impact to better serve the community of people in the local community and around the world. And technology and social media has certainly accelerated the opportunity and the potential for that. And in my conversation with Dave, we talk about the new opportunities that have opened up because of technology, as well as some words of caution that you as pastors and church leaders must be aware of. It's a whole new world here in the 21st century, and I'm so happy to have Dave Travis share some of his perspectives as he engages and connects with church leaders on the front line. So pull up a chair and listen in on our conversation about technology, social media, and the church. Here's my conversation with Dave Travis. Well, I'm privileged to sit here with the Chief Encouragement Officer of Leadership Network, Dave Travis, with whom I've had a relationship for 8+ years now online. And it was because he read my blog that he invited me into a working relationship at Leadership Network. And I'm still an alumni staff. And we're actually in Atlanta for an event that I help facilitate, 5 or 6 events a year. So thrilled to have opportunities like this. And we're going to have a conversation about social media. And Leadership Network's been working with church leaders for how long now?
We just celebrated our 30th year of ministry just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic. And what did you do to celebrate?
We actually had our board. We had a larger dinner with some past contributors and some few pastors that had been around for a long time. And so we used that time to thank everybody for all their help, but also to cast vision for the next 5, 6, 7 years as we look into the future, of which social media is going to be, you know, a big part of that, not just for us, but for lots of leaders.
Yeah, so you've been Leadership Network's been working with innovative churches for all that time, and social media is maybe 10 years old or less, really, mainstreaming of
it. Right.
And so how have you seen technology and social media affect these innovative churches?
Sure. Well, the way I have been saying it for the last couple of years is one of the things that church leaders have to pay attention to is the fact that I call it two counter wave and a counter wave. One is all things digital. It's everything that can be digitized will be digitized. And the social media thing comes up under that. The shift from the way we have gathered people to now, we're a lot more emphasis on digital. So first of all, everything that can be digitized will be digitized. Sometimes that's content, and that's the way churches usually think, which is okay. I mean, it's a first
step. Well, we have decades of history in broadcasting.
Exactly.
So whether that's radio or television and now internet streaming.
And absolutely. And in fact, I would say churches actually are pioneers, especially if you compare them to other not-for-profits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was at Harvard Business School this summer, working with 160 nonprofit leaders, or I was taking a class with them, and we were at Leadership Network far out of head of most of those nonprofits, almost, I would say, 99% of them.
Oh, how about that? That's neat to hear.
Yeah, and I would say even the churches that we work with are ahead of most of those in their understandings of how they use the technologies. So part of that is just digital broadcast, way we use websites, the way we do that kind of thing. The second piece of that, before I go back to the digital, just to show the counterwave, mm-hmm. is what I call the relational resurgence. So at the same time we have this everything moving digitally, there's this huge hunger for relationship. And so our digital expressions have to sync up with our relational capacities. So
is that the allusion to high touch, high tech?
There's high touch and high tech going on simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen a lot of church leaders do is get really into the broadcast high tech side of it and desires to, as you know, stream content, build broadcast applications. Mm-hmm. They believe that the problem can be solved with more information. And I'm not sure that's what's really
well. Now we're drowning in information.
We are drowning in information
at our fingertips, literally.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about kind of the first steps in that. Of mm-hmm. course, at least in the churches we work with, we had this rapid adoption 5-6 years ago of Twitter.
Yep.
Okay. And so
we were part of that Innovation Cube conference.
Absolutely. And the way people talk to one another, leaders communicate with one another, is through Twitter, which is still somewhat of a broadcast medium. Here's what I'm doing. Here's where I'm speaking. Here's something I'm reading. Here's a book I have. It can lead to interaction. There's a lot of direct messaging that goes on behind mm-hmm. the scenes. There's a lot of connection. Here's a question I have. Will you give me the answer? All good. I've been in churches that have leveraged that as well to help people leverage their personal networks while they're in a worship service. Mm. And so we had this mm-hmm. whole, of course, generation of people saying, please turn off your cell phone before you come into worship. Yes. And now I've seen the absolute reverse of what people are saying. Please feel free to take notes on your cell phone, and please have your Twitter and Facebook open, because there'll be several message points that we want you to broadcast to your friends. I was sitting in a worship service with my wife a couple years ago now, here locally in Atlanta area, mm-hmm. In a church that is not really a suburban church. It's what I call a suburban church. So it's where the suburbs meet the bubbas. And the pastor said, okay, the second point is one that is a Twitter link. And maybe you just want to throw that out there to your friends right now. And please use the hashtag in the name of the church. And my wife, who's sitting next to me, did not do that. We were guests there that particular evening. It was a Saturday mm-hmm. evening service. But then she punched me, and she said, hey, look. And one of her friends, who had moved from our community 10 years ago, she said, they're here.
Oh, how about that?
You know, and as you think about that, as you're broadcasting those type of things and encouraging your people to, if it's on their Facebook page or on their right. Twitter thing, people can say, oh, okay, that person has attended church this weekend, is a Christian perhaps, mm-hmm. Is someone who cares about others, and then broadcast whatever message that was communicated that way. So that's one level.
Yes.
That I think churches should take advantage of, mm-hmm. Not just for the pastor's network or the staff network or the church's network, but all of the people who are participating, you know, can broadcast to their networks.
Yeah, so in a sense, the Sunday service is no longer contained in the walls of the room. It's leaking out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through people's actual social relationships.
Right, and of course, we also see now, with the advent of Vine and some other easy video technologies, mm-hmm. You know, short or very short clips of worship experiences. I've seen more and more mm-hmm. baptism...
Yeah.
Response times where a person was moved so much that they recorded mm-hmm. that to share with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so the experience was not just one they were having, but one they felt compelled to share.
Which is what baptism is supposed to be all about. A public testimony.
Absolutely.
Can truly be global and instant through
I'm so excited for my friend Sheila, who was baptized today.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's a great tool. Now, I also say one of the dangers of social media, especially for pastors, and I'm not talking about what they tweet or what they broadcast, is that everything that you do that could be interpreted as negative can be spread very quickly. I'm familiar with a pastor who loves to coach Little League baseball. And I had girls who did not play baseball. They played other sports. But when his child was playing baseball and he went to have some words with the umpire, somebody caught that on video.
Oh, yeah. And everybody's got a cell phone.
Everybody has a cell phone. And they were... amazingly, the person that was taking the video was laughing because they knew this pastor and thought it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the pastor's leadership team didn't think it was very funny. A lot of the people in their congregation didn't think that was very funny. But it got around that even though this was not a wide, you know, this was not a 1,000 YouTube hit kind of thing. This was a small, concise thing, but the word got around.
Yes.
Because it was not only a report of what someone said, now we have video.
Yeah.
Now we have pictures. Now we have things that make it hard. The pastor had to go and apologize to the congregation and also to the umpire. Of course, the way he addressed it was he got a video of him apologizing profusely to this umpire for losing his temper. But still, of course, that didn't get near the interest.
The reach and the views.
Negative stuff always travels faster. Bad news travels faster than good news in most cases. So, but the other thing I would say is what the social digital space enables when it's done well is it enables human relationship. And so some would say it's another layer of human relationship, another connecting point, perhaps. I think that it's very important to use the tools to connect with people in a human way. Sometimes that'll be digitally. Sometimes that is face-to-face.
Well, unpack that a little more. I've heard it said by a prominent pastor that we have fellowship face-to-face, and we can also have fellowship keyboard-to-keyboard. What does human relationship look like through social media?
Exactly. I'll give you...
Because you're exchanging sound bites, 140 characters at a time. It's very piecemeal. It's hard to read voice and tone of voice.
Absolutely.
Body language. So a lot is lost. And you just gave some stories of how it can be easily misinterpreted. And for people that already have a bias against church or have a chip on the shoulder, they're going to look at every word and everything you say through a negative lens anyways.
Right. The way I usually say it is this. First of all, almost everyone carries a universal communication device now. It's mainly used not for voice-to-voice communication, but for other means of communication. There are days when I come home and my wife will say, oh, I talked to the girls today, and we talked about this. And I will say... Was this in a phone call or was this in a... Did you go see the girls? No, it was all by text. Or by a Facebook message, direct message or the messenger.
So even the category of conversation or talking with someone is spilling over.
Another way I've heard it, a friend will say, well, I heard that. And then they'll say what they had heard about a certain individual. And I'm like, oh, wow, where'd you hear that? I heard it on Facebook.
And so, by reading a status update.
By reading a status update or what someone had said about someone. And so here's what's interesting. The language we're using to say, well, I talked to somebody or I heard, really is not what we used to say would constitute a conversation. It's changing the way we relate to one another. And churches have to be cognizant of the fact that human relationships, which are undergirded by communication of some point, that's of some type, we are changing the way we relate and communicate with one another and work together.
So seeing these changes happen, how do you coach a church or church leaders? Because there's a lot at stake in terms of reputation or perception or, in bad situations, damage control.
I think the only, I mean, what we have to, and this is going to sound terrible, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that you have to think of yourself, even if you're in a pastor of 100 people, you have to think of yourself just like a media anchor, news anchor, other media person has to think about their social side, of which most of them use their social things to interact with their hearers and listeners, viewers, and we'll also use that for broadcast and other interaction. And I think you have to be as wise as the just as the people are media, and you have to avoid certain arguments that cannot be handled well through that medium. Okay, there are certain discussions.
Family discussions that are in-house.
That's right. And there are also things that you can deal with in public, but things that you have to deal with in private. I always talk about when it comes to key issues in a church, there's three levels that you have to. First is the family level, which that might be your literal, human, biological family, your extended family, and then your staff, your pastor. There's the congregational level. These are things that you can address in a full or fully orbed way. In the midst of a message or some other talk or a town hall meeting where you can explain very clearly about this issue. Here's where I stand on it. Here's what we're dealing with. But then there is a public communication way that is for those who aren't insiders, who may have little background, knowledge, interest, or maybe, as you say, a negative lens they're applying to what you're saying.
Because they have no context.
They don't have the context.
Right. And no relationship.
And no relationship. Yeah. And so the things that you have to consider when you're communicating these messages, you're communicating to a broader audience. And everything you say can and will be used against you.
Wow, that's tough.
It's terrible.
That's really tough. I mean, even larger churches with a public speaker who knows how to speak before a public audience often hires or contracts with a consultant or a voice coach to learn how to handle public relations.
Absolutely.
But because of technology now, we all have to be on that learning curve, because even what we say in a small room, if someone's got that recorder on or if you're recording your sermons, can be easily consumed by people around the world.
Right. Well, I think the other thing is, I mean, we have extremist preachers of all types, of all faith traditions, that have limited viewership or limited size congregations, but have become experts in blowing that out of proportion. I always remember the particular church, the that was led at one time by Fred Phelps, and it was called a mega church by several writers. This was a church of 18 people, but they had
Church was his?
Well, this was the one who protests at military funerals.
The Westboro.
Westboro. Right? Thank you.
Yeah. No, because Ashley Mashable just picked it up last week to say, hey, here's five things that you can learn from Westboro, a church of about 40, and how they use social media.
Exactly. And so they've used it.
And they've gotten more earned media attention than churches of thousands.
Absolutely. So what I tell pastors is, number one, you've got to be proactively communicating your message. Now, you don't have to fight about everything. Some people are going to call you things, and you have to determine what level does that deserve a response. Even at Leadership Network, we have many detractors, or some detractors, who have things on the web, who broadcast social media things, and we choose just not to respond because it's not the right method. It's not the right. We don't think responding to that charge, indictment, whatever is. Sometimes it's just so crazy. We just say we need to ignore that. So you have to decide. You have to pick your battles, but you always need to be proactively communicating. No, here's what I said. Or here's what I intend. Here's what I want. Here's the message we want to get across to our community and our constituency.
And that is one of the dangers I see, is some churches, they don't want to get caught up in the debates because that's just a losing black hole.
Yep.
But they wind up saying nothing. And when you're silent, you've actually just handed the mic to only the detractors
Absolutely.
Have a voice.
Yep. Good point.
You have to say something, too. You have to tell your own story.
You have to
let
your own
other
story.
People tell
right.
your story.
Don't let other people
the
tell
the
story.
The watchdogs will be there when you have influence.
Yeah.
And in one sense, they use the internet pretty well in terms of just feeding the search engine with all their negative junk.
Yeah. Yeah. And the the other thing I do tell pastors about, hey, don't just share your church stuff, because what today's generation is, generations of all generations of age are looking for is, who is the real you?
Hmm.
So do you need to share photos of you and your family, or of you and your friends, or here I am, this is my natural state? Now, I'm not saying you send pictures
off
of you
the
coming
pulpit.
Yeah, exactly. Off the pulpit. Okay. I'm not saying you have a picture. Here's me coming out of the shower. Mm-hmm. Here's my family when we're, this is what mm-hmm. we like to do. This is our recreation.
Mm-hmm.
This is my nephew. I'm so proud of him. So proud of her. People want to know who the real you is. And so how you portray yourself beyond just your role as a pastor or a church leader. Who are you? And how can you communicate that through social media? That's a tool we have not had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That can be shared on a...
It's funny. I've been a pastor, as yep. have you. One of the things that pastors are sensitive to is living in a fishbowl.
Yep.
And now literally the technology's enabled that.
Well, I think one of the big changes when I came to Leadership Network 20 years ago, we would have meetings with senior pastors. And one of the skills that everyone said you had to learn was how to keep crazy people away after a church service, and how to, because in many cases these were people doing, you know, five services in a Sunday and they're moving service.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you avoid contact with lots of people between a service? And now I think we have the exact opposite. In most of the conversations we have with pastors, how do I engage with as many people as I can? Sometimes that's face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times that is with our universal communication devices through the various means that we do have.
And as we wrap up our time, how has social media changed the way Leadership Network does its work?
Well, I would say in a couple ways. As you know, we do use Twitter as one of our tools of choice to our staff. Just, here's what's going on. Here you can see what's going on in our space. Here's the group we're meeting with right now. Of course, staff members are also broadcasting who they are and who they are in their natural state. Now, we have some official LeadNet, you know, at LeadNet is our official account where we try and keep up with things. But, you know, we also use Facebook, and we have a general Facebook page where we load up just general information. But then each of our groups has a private Facebook page, an area, group.
Facebook group. They call them currently.
Where the people who are a part of that group, who have developed trust and who have had a face-to-face relationship, can carry on conversations outside of the scrum of your primary friend feeds or whatever.
Yes.
But the good thing about using a tool like that, of course, is if you are a part of that group, it does appear on your news feed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your notification set, it will, you know, notify you, hey, there's a new comment, or somebody has a new question, somebody posted, needs help with this particular area. And so those are very simple and publicly available tools that you don't really have to pay for, which is kind of where we're headed with how do we maximize and leverage the free tools. We've also been involved with our hackathon project to see all the kinds of social peer-to-peer. The next generation of things is going to be beyond broadcast, and it's going to be peer-to-peer, and churches aren't going to be at the center, I'm convinced.
What do you mean by that?
So, for example, some of the prayer apps we've seen, some of the spiritual growth apps, they're not going to be dependent or even refer to an individual local congregation. One of the things we're going to ask in an upcoming survey to people who attend churches is, okay, besides your pastor, throw a bone to that, where else are you being enriched and growing spiritually? What are the resources? What are the places you're doing it? And I do think we're going to see lots of apps, just like YouVersion is not really branded with any one church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of other things like iDisciple and the new Abide prayer app that are believer-to-believer kinds of technologies. Now, whether they take off, I don't know yet, but I see a lot of the work going on in app development along those lines.
Well, there's potential.
There's potential.
For self-organizing and more of a grassroots effort. And, well, as technology improves, that may be a tipping point of, well, I'm thinking of house churches typically have a shelf life of 18 months to 2 years. But technology may possibly extend that.
Absolutely.
And no longer geographic, but...
We had a conversation.
We have universal communication devices that can connect people in human relationships.
We had a conversation earlier today, and we were chatting with a group of people gathered at this event about Facebook and how that some of the most engaged posts on Facebook on our various friend feeds... I'm 50 plus years old. And so...
Well, I'm 48, not too far behind.
Yeah. So I will say that, the people on my Facebook thing are people I've associated with at Leadership Network. So people from all across the world there. My high school friends. That I went to high school with. And then people who grew up in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And I don't have them segmented, but that's who appears on my... And, friends I have in the community where I live now. Mm-hmm. That's who appears on my wall. And even when somebody who is not a believer or not a strong believer posts of something, I'm having a really hard time. Will you please pray for me? Yeah. I'm amazed at how many people respond to that request with a comment.
Hmm.
Including some people that respond that I'm like, I'm not really sure they're a Christian. And so, or they've never really shown... the fruit of being a strong believer, but they are willing to say, I'm praying for you. I'm feeling for you. In fact, one of the participants here today said, I know someone who is an avowed atheist. When someone asks for prayer, she'll even put, I'm not going to pray, but I'm going to send sprinkles your way.
Mm.
And what that tells me is that people want to be connected. Mm-hmm. And when we put out a need or something that we want people to empathize with us, that gets a lot of response. And if you would look tonight through your Facebook feed, I'm not an expert in Facebook. However, you'll see, funny stuff gets lots of comments and likes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stupid stuff, meaning somebody did something stupid. Politically, extreme right, extreme left gets a lot of engagement. But then I also think prayer needs or I just lost my dad or I... Our dog died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed to see how many people engage and reach out because of this technology lets us share parts of our lives with each other. So I think there's a lesson there for church leaders to say, hey, you may think that person is so far from God that you're never going to be able to reach them. You'd be surprised at what does turn their heart and where they do have needs. We're headed to the place, if we're not there already. We have talked to some developers who are working on, how could you look at all the people who are in your constituency and know when they're having depression? When they are struggling with an issue, maybe struggling in their marriage, by just Facebook feed analysis.
Oh. So, Facebook got a billion monthly active users, so they've got a lot of data.
And there are now developers, of course, layering onto that, especially on the marketing side, but I think also on the ministry side, to where if you said, I'm friends with all these people, I need to know who's hurting, in a dashboard that could say, here are the people that really need your ministry touch this week.
Wow.
Okay, and I think that's a good thing, especially because that information is freely put out there.
Yes.
Mostly.
Kinda. Facebook's monetizing it.
But
it's available.
The person
Available.
Is volunteering information. Now, we also, it gets a little bit spookier, of course, when that's tracked by and related to other sites they may visit.
I hear you.
Okay. So we may be able to know who's looked up suicide. Who's looked up a pornography site.
Right.
Okay. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting close of where if someone's a member of a certain social site that also tracks them other places, it's possible to discern that.
Well, what's scary, the data's already there, actually.
The data's there.
Just people haven't connected it.
Exactly.
In those particular ways.
Right.
Well, these are exciting times, and I also want to thank you for being a syndicate of Social Media Church. It's been a great partnership, and it's helped our listeners engage a lot more.
So right. Well, we appreciate all the work that you've done, DJ, not only with the Social Media Church, and not only with all of our leadership communities, but also with our Asian American work in the past, as well as other things that you've helped us with. You've been a great partner and friend. Thank you. Well,
my sincere thanks to Dave Travis for sitting down with me for a conversation about technology, social media, and the church while I was in Atlanta with him at a Leadership Network event. I still connect with Leadership Network and facilitate some of their meetings 5 or 6 times a year. Always a joy to do that. And we were able to meet in Perimeter Church. They're in the northeast corner of Atlanta, a beautiful, beautiful place. A real joy to be there with a number of church leaders. Be sure to check the show notes at socialmedia.church for how you can connect with Dave Travis, as well as tap into all the great resources there at Leadership Network. The website there is leadnet.org. To continue the conversation that we started here, socialmedia.church is the website. And, I'll make mention of the upcoming online conference that is free, so you can participate from anywhere you are, called The Nines. And this year, The Nines is tackling some of the hottest topics in our culture today, culture clash. So The Nines, you'll want to tune in for that. And while I was at Atlanta, happy to have dropped in on the Catalyst Leadership Conference, which I hear is taking on a greater emphasis on church leadership, not just leadership generically in terms of culture, but specifically within the church and through the church. So that's a good turn of events for those of us that are church leaders. And while I was there at Catalyst, I got to meet one of the listeners of Social Media Church, Jimmy Pruhl. So thank you for saying hi. Give me a shout out. Literally, so good to connect with you, and so happy to hear that this podcast has been a valuable resource for you. And continue spreading the word, doing the good work there in the state of Georgia. If you found Social Media Church helpful to you, be sure to spread the word through Twitter and Facebook, or even email. Email still is valuable for connecting with people, and I'd certainly love to have you join the conversation here. I'm actually in California this week with Dave Travis. So if you are listening to this episode before October 9th, I can ask the questions live with Dave and get you the answer. Just ping us at socialmedia.church on the website. Of course, we have places on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram. I am not on Google Plus. I am on. So everything in terms of the links is at socialmedia.church. And I even have a hotline for you. So if you want to call in on your cell phone, if you're on the go, the number here is 9493-543216. Easy to remember, right? 9493-543216. So happy to connect with you again. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed already on iTunes or RSS on any podcatcher that you'd like. Love staying connected with you. But I need to sign off here. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.